We're going to, because of time, we're going to dive in. This one is a little bit nebulous, meaning it's kind of a little hard to understand, but what you guys are here today is for clear eyes and full hearts. And it's not the commercial where it's like the monotone guy putting the like Visine in his eyes. You may have no idea what I'm talking about. I don't even know that guy's name. The clear eyes. So it's not that. It's going to be much more exciting. What we are doing today is you are going to hear from some people who are a little further down the road than you are. Y'all, everyone in here, this is a junior high only breakout because we value you. It's not because we baby you. It's not because we want to just put it a little dumber down content. That's not how we think. You hear me say that all the time. We believe in you even more than high school kids. I do. I think it's a little too late when they're in high school. And so we think that God has a purpose and a plan for you right now. And so what you're going to hear in these 45 minutes is from a few guys and girls who have sat where you sat. They went through 6th, 7th, and 8th grade. They went through similar struggles. They went through some of the same pressures and temptations. They went through some of the same ways where it's easy to just be comfortable. It's easy to feel like, oh, I'm just getting persecuted for my faith, or I'm kind of bored with it. And so they're going to just, what they're going to do is they're going to read a letter. We've been in a series at Wake, if you've been coming or in small group, studying Colossians. Colossians is a letter written by Paul to this church. And he's writing to them to help them grow in their faith, to help them understand how to work together as a church, to combat the lies that people are telling them. So we've studied 1, 2, and 3 chapters. That last chapter, I'm going to read a little bit. Here's what he says. Verse 2, chapter 4, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us that God may open to us a door for the word to declare the ministry of Christ on account of which I'm in prison, that I may make it clear, which is how I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward outsiders, making the best use of time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. And then he goes through and he talks specifically to Tychicus and all these other people. He's like, hey, talk to him and tell him and remind him and remember we're praying for you and pray for these guys. And what he's doing is he is just going, hey, look, I'm seeing God at work all around the world, and I want to remind you, God is good, he loves you, and you can trust him, and here's how you can walk in him. And so Paul gave these people this letter. Today, you are going to hear letters from 5 high school, are y'all all seniors? 5 high school seniors. Ramey, are you a senior? Yes. And they're going to write to themselves in junior high. They wrote a letter. If they could go back in time, like Brad Paisley's song, if they could go back in time, knowing what they know now, knowing what God has allowed them to go through, both in amazing things and how they've grown and in ways they have absolutely blown it, in sin struggles, in just insecurity, whatever it is, they're going to take what they know now and write to themselves in 6th, 7th, and 8th grade what they would have done differently. And really, it's a letter to them, but it's a letter to you. And so you're going to hear from each of them, and they're writing to you. Just as Paul wrote to Corinthians, and 2,000 years later, it's still a letter to us where we can learn from. It may not be what we're exactly going through or experiencing, but don't drown it out. Lock in. I didn't tell them what to say. I said, hey, write a letter to yourself in 6th, 7th, or 8th grade. Tell what you do differently. Tell what you do the same. Tell about your relationship with the Lord. And this is what they said. And so we're going to call each of them up at the end. We'll have some time. They're going to talk through together, and then we'll do some other things. And so y'all keep eating. Enjoy lunch. Let me pray, and then we'll have them come up. Heavenly Father, thank you for this room full of junior high students. Thank you for D-Town, the fun we can have. Thank you for a church that just lets us scream our face off and have a blast. But Lord, a church that's not just bounce houses and dance parties, but we can come and worship you. We can come and open your word and not just study John 3:16, but look at the depth and the richness and the fullness, a place full of authenticity because the Spirit of God is here. I thank you for Caitlin and Ramey and Dawson and Anna and Braden and the ways that you have grown them in their faith, that you've allowed them to succeed, you have allowed them to fail, but Lord, you have continued to let your Spirit rule and reign their life as they abide with you. So use them today. I pray that we would hear, we would grow from it, and we would walk deeper in relationship with you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. First, I would love to call up Miss Caitlin. Y'all welcome Miss Caitlin up to the stage, please.
Dear Caitlin, congratulations. You've made it to your senior year. I know middle school's hard, and I know sometimes that you can't imagine that you'll even make it to your senior year. Things are really stressful for you right now, mostly because you're being bullied every day, sometimes to the point that you go home after school and just break down. In the next few years, you'll realize that what some people are saying to you right now just isn't true. Try to remember that God made you in his image and that he loves you more than anyone ever could or will. I know you've also been recently diagnosed with a chronic disease, and that is causing you to question who God is and if he is good, but hold on to your faith. You can't see it right now, but this is all in his perfect plan for you. In John 13:7, Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand." God is going to use this diagnosis so that you can serve others who are going through similar things or even more difficulties. Later in high school, you will memorize a verse that I wish you would memorize now. It's Jeremiah 29:11. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." This verse will bring you so much comfort in the future. It will let you know that you are not alone, and even if you are hurting and you don't see the Lord's plan, that he is still good and he is working everything out in his own timing. Right now, you're also just getting involved in a small group. This group of girls will be the ones you come to throughout middle school and high school when you're hurting, struggling in your faith, or just need someone to hang out with. They will constantly build you up and lead you in the direction of God. You will spend 7 amazing years with these girls and grow in relationships far deeper than you ever thought possible. By growing in your faith so much, you will be able to say no to peer pressure and stand wrong. You will be mocked for not having any fun in high school, and you will even feel like an outsider when everyone comes back after the weekend talking about how much fun they had at a party. You will stop being invited to these parties. This will be hard for you at times, but God is not trying to rip you off or make it to where you can't have any fun. He's just guarding your heart and protecting you. And trust me when I say that you have plenty of fun in high school without parties and everything that the world says is fun. So, Caitlin, if I could leave you with one thing, it would be to stay strong in your faith. Remember that God is good and he has a plan in your life. Also, spend more time with your small group, as they will be the ones there when you feel like no one else is. Don't be afraid to share how you're really feeling with them either. You're going to figure out that everyone struggles and feels alone at times. You're so much stronger than you know, and God loves you more than you can imagine. You got this.
So what's crazy is, and Caitlin, I haven't told you this. I remember you in Wake. I remember when we weren't in this room at that time, she would come in with like double fisting donuts. And she'd be like, "Ah!" I was like, "Oh my goodness, why?" And she just was like so stoked and so loving life. I had no idea that she was diagnosed with a disease. No idea that she didn't like herself. And before we came in here, she was telling me, we were just talking about, you know, what they would say to themselves. And she was like, "Man, I was not okay with who I was in junior high. It was only until I was a senior in high school that I'm okay to just walk in Nike shorts and whatever. I was totally overthinking who I was." And so it's so fun, Caitlin, to see just what God has done in your life and has taken you from what we project to everybody and even what I saw. I didn't know the fullness of her story, but God does, God did, and God knows yours. And so you're going to continue to hear them sharing, not just, "Ooh, I'm just going to hold this all in," but "God's best for my life is when I then tell it to others." You're going to hear that over and over and over, not just today, but every time you come here. And so, Caitlin, that was a gift. Sometimes we can think, we walk in this room and you know your own struggles and insecurities and imperfections, and you're like, "Oh, everyone's just perfect. No one struggles with sin. Everyone's got more money than me." Everyone's got no problems. No one's experiencing pain like I am. Everyone feels like they've got it all together. Most of us think that, and none of us feel that about ourselves. And so you're hearing from a girl who's going, hey, that was me. It's not just you. And if we were honest with each other, most of us, if not all of us in this room, feel that way. So, Caitlin, thank you. I'd love to then welcome up my friend, Miss Rami Rice, senior at TCA. Y'all give it up for her.
Dear younger me, although I'm not near perfect now, here's three major things that would have made life a lot easier when I was your age. My first piece of advice would be to make sure that you are running with trustworthy, encouraging friends. And no, I'm not talking about the popular group of friends that you will try so hard to please. I'm talking about real friends, friends who encourage you when you get stressed, friends who love you for who you are, not for the fake image of yourself. Friends who will talk to you about what they're learning in the Word, friends who you can really trust. But it's important to remember that no friend is perfect and that you are never going to be the perfect friend. We all lie, we all tell secrets we probably shouldn't tell. We all get angry sometimes, we all sin. But that's the beauty of true friendship. It's just a bunch of imperfect people striving to be like our perfect God. I bet that right now you're probably hanging out with that group of friends who you think will make your image better. You probably have to be someone different for them, a fake image of yourself that only you know isn't the real you. You're trying not to be who you want to be, but who they want you to be. When you find yourself in this situation, I encourage you to stop projecting that fake image. Take the mask off. It might be painful. It might cause some friends to turn away from you. But that's when you will really find out who your real friends are. My next point is the most important, so listen closely. Stop trying to control your own life because it never works. I'll repeat that because it's so important. Only God controls your life, not you. Right now, you're probably thinking, it's my life. I can control anything I want to. Well, it never works. Only God controls your life. Basically, there's one thing that is wrong with this mindset. You kind of left God out of the situation. I bet you're at that stage, and believe me, because I've lived it, where you've had your life all planned out. But only one thing is wrong with this. You forgot to put God in the picture. Listen to me, if my life plans had worked out, I would be one of the most popular kids in school. I would have a full scholarship to college, and everything and everyone in life would adore me. But God has different plans. He's trying to wake you up out of your daydream and make you realize that your plans will not work out. Only Jesus Christ can control your life. I hope you realize that things happen that we will not plan for. But it shouldn't be a surprise when you put your trust in Christ. Psalm 46:10 says, "Be still and know that I am God." I used to recite this verse all the time when I was younger, but I know now what it really means. For me, being still means to stop striving. Right now, you're probably striving for perfection in all things, grades, sports, relationships, anything. I know because I'm a perfectionist. But let me tell you that it will never be enough, and the only thing you should really be striving for is Christ and Christ alone. This brings me to my last point. Live one day at a time. Whether it be in your walk with Christ, in your time with family, or even time at school. Yes, I know school isn't your favorite place right now. Because there will come a day when you miss being a junior high or high school student, when you miss being crazy at D-Town, when you miss cheering at a football game on a Friday night, or when you miss late night talks with friends about crazy life questions. The future holds many great things, but for now, I hope you feel exhausted at the end of the day because you lived it to the fullest. Love, Rami.
That's awesome. Thank you, Rami. Man, a couple things I think were really good in there. If you're not taking notes, I think you should. I've seen a couple kids, a couple leaders, pull your booklet out. There are sound bites that the Holy Spirit's just going to hit you in the chest and go, wait, is she talking to me? Does she know my life? Write it down because you'll forget. And use it even something that you can share with your small group later. Because these are not just letters to them, they are letters to you. Something that she said, I think a lot of people in this room can resonate with, that doesn't seem like sin, but is maybe one of the biggest things that can get in the way of your relationship with the Lord, is control. We all want our life to look like how we want it, right? Even if you don't think you wrestle with control, we all want a good life. We all want the things that we want, and they're not bad things, they're good things. I want to please my parents. I want good grades. I want to be on the team. I want to be popular. Great. You might be. But that was her God. And she said, man, I can't control my life. And when we try to control our life, we try to be God and keep God from being God and keep ourselves from worshiping him and trusting him and fully experiencing abundant life in him. God's the perfectionist, and he perfectly made you. We are broken, and we want to honor him and love others and do the best that we can, but you don't have to be perfect. Jesus was, and so you don't have to be. You just have to trust him. There's some of you in this room, especially if you're the oldest and a firstborn like Raimi, who just struggle with that, and you don't know it's a struggle. You just think it's a part of who you are. And so I hope that you hear from a girl who's a little further down the road from you, who just says, hey, that had the potential to wreck my life, and at times it did. And that's just as bad as anything else we can think of. So that is gold. Lock onto that. Next, love to call up my friend Dawson McGee. Give it up for him.
Dear Junior High Dawson, I want to write you this note because, believe it or not, I know exactly what you're going through. Having experienced junior high before and knowing you pretty well, there are quite a few things that I would encourage you to change, but also some things that I think you are doing well and need to continue to do. First off, I want to let you know that even though I've been alive for 4 or 5 years longer than you, I'm still very far from perfect, and I definitely don't have everything figured out. That being said, I want you to remember that the habits and qualities that you develop now will continue to stick with you. Even though I've made great progress in changing the lazy and apathetic habits of my junior high years, those habits have since stuck with me, and I still struggle with them daily. These character flaws are one that have caused and continue to cause you to feel lonely and isolated because you value relaxation and comfort over friendships and your relationship with God. Next, I want to remind you that age is only a number and that you shouldn't hold yourself to a standard that society sets upon you. Most people think of junior high kids as lazy kids who lack a sense of responsibility. But don't simply conform to this idea. Take ownership of your life, especially your grades, friendships, and relationship with God, and I promise it will pay off in the future. Next, I want to encourage you spiritually and tell you what I have learned over the last 4 years. For starters, remember that you have been given an enormous gift in the form of a small group. You get the luxury of spending time every week with a group of your friends and leaders who have the same desire to help strengthen your relationship with Christ. But the best thing you can do to make an even better small group experience is to be authentic with your group. Once you begin to confess your wrongdoings and hold your fellow small group members accountable, others will follow in your footsteps, and it will create a tight bond between you and your small group members. Finally, I want to encourage you to make your faith your own, and not just your parents' faith. Even though it has been an immense blessing to grow up always going to church in a Christian school, it has also made you become apathetic in your faith. As I was telling you earlier, this time in your life is one when many habits and practices will be made that stay with you for the rest of your life. And so I encourage you to take control of your faith at this point in time. Become consistent with your daily quiet times and prayer, and this will begin to inform the way that you live. I'm here for you, man, and I hope that this letter will allow you to do great things in junior high and have a great life. Sincerely, Dawson.
Thank you. Josh, thanks, dude. Man. Seriously, I hope you're taking notes. It's gold. I'm circling stuff, underlining stuff that I need, that your leaders are writing down, not for you, but for them. Because we just forget. I recently just got a puppy. Has anybody had a puppy before? Yeah, you've had a puppy. They're peeing all over the place. They're so cute. They're so precious. And then you want to kick them against a wall. But puppies are amazing. Okay, and I'm coming to where I'm coming here. There's a reason. We, while they're puppies, you have got to put in the work to train them, to teach them then, because it gets way harder later. So you got to teach them to sit. Got to teach them to go pee outside in the right spot. You got to work with them early, and then their life is way better down the road. Some of you guys, you may have full-grown dogs that you didn't take care of as puppies. And you're just like, why? Why do you do this? Stop! What Dawson said is, hey, while you're in kind of puppy stages of your life and still peeing all over the place, just kidding. You're not in a time that's just a waste of life and then you take advantage of how you want to grow later. What he said, I hope you hear, is you are setting habits for yourself for the rest of your life. Not just how you brush your teeth or don't or wear deodorant or not. But your spiritual life and your growth as a man or woman of God is somewhat dependent on how you put that into practice now. God's God and he's sovereign and he's got you. But this is not a waste of time. This is the best time to dig in, to set the foundation so that you will grow. And you heard him. There are things that he did to do that. And there are things that he said, man, I was lazy. I wasted it. The last 5 years of my life, I've had to go and reteach myself. You don't have to, because he has just challenged you. Hey, use today, use tomorrow, use this year so that next year's better and 5 years is better. That is gold. This is the most time you will ever have in your life. And this is a time that you are setting patterns for the man you will be, for the woman you will be, for the husband you will be, for the father you will be, for the follower of Jesus that you are now and will be as God powerfully works through you. Awesome, thank you, dude. Let's welcome up my friend, Miss Anna Robinson. Come on up here.
When I sat down to write this letter to my junior high self, I knew what I wanted to say but didn't know how to say it. So I went to my favorite English teacher one day and said, Miss Lundquist, I'm writing a letter to my junior high self on spiritual advice. I wish I knew, and I don't know how to get my ideas across. At first, she was reluctant because she didn't have a faith, but I reassured her I just need a simple transition into my ideas. She said, one thing I've always noticed about people who put their faith in God is they have an internal peace. Even though they go through hard times and struggle like everyone else, they don't let it get to them because they have something else to put their faith into besides themselves and the people around them. They know everything will be okay. After she said this, I realized I have an internal peace by putting my trust in the Lord, and it took until about halfway through sophomore year to be at peace with myself. My biggest insecurity is the fear of judgment and looking like an outsider. In junior high, it was looking like a sevy. In high school, it was looking like a freshman. And now, with college approaching, the feelings of fear of being an outsider are slowly creeping back. It's not just with school, but on almost every family vacation we go on, we always do a bus stop tour ride, and I cannot stand them because it makes us look like tourists and like we don't belong. Even though I always end up loving the things I learn and see, I still struggle with the idea of making myself obvious. In these times of vulnerability, before I really studied the word, I would justify my feelings as a teen being embarrassed or saying I just have a low self-esteem because of my age. But it's much deeper than that. I was dealing with a bigger problem of distrust in God and insecurity in my own faith. One day, I opened up my Bible app, and the verse of the day was Proverbs 3:6. Acknowledge the Lord in all your ways, and he will make your path straight. This verse to this day is the one that gets me through hard times and reminds me that God is ultimately in charge of my future. I shouldn't worry about worldly statuses or judgment. So if I had to say anything to my junior high self, it would be that everything is going to be okay and cast all your worries on God.
That's awesome. Thank you, ma'am. Man, we're talking about a senior in high school, okay? If they all stood up here, because I've been in junior high too, we look at older kids and we're like, oh my goodness, you're awesome. Like, you're so cool. You're so popular. If you go to school with them and stuff like that, and you just heard her say, hey, I struggle with the same insecurities now as I did back then. It doesn't just go away because you grow up. Those are things that I have to continue to combat. Those are things that I continually, in different stages, not just in junior high trying to figure it out, but now in high school, and as I'm looking to go to college, there are things that I have to continue to go, Lord, are you going to be enough for me? Or am I going to have to sit in my fear continually? And so these aren't just things that they've figured out and gone, hey, little ones, make sure you figure this out too. They're going, hey, we're still trying to figure this out. These are still things God's teaching me, but I wish that I could impart to you and impart to myself if I was back then. Anna, thank you. Finally, I'll welcome up my friend, Mr. Braden Brown, senior at J.J. Pierce. Come on up, Braden.
Dear junior high Braden, I know these few years of middle school have been some of the hardest experiences in your life. The popularity contest that is 7th and 8th grade has trapped you in a really tough position. And I know it's hard for you to see a way out. You've always been a part of the popular crowd, but things are changing, and your so-called friends are starting to head down a path you morally don't want to follow. I know you feel stuck between your Christian good kid reputation and fitting in with the athletic popular crowd you've always ran with. I wish I would have known what really mattered back then, which is your relationship with the Lord. The Lord loves you unconditionally, so you trying to gain people's love through performance on a basketball court, grades in the classroom, or friendships that aren't deep or real at all is pointless. You couldn't do anything to make him love you any more or any less. I know you're scared of being alone, and you may think that getting a girlfriend can fix the pain of feeling deserted by your friends, but that will only leave you discontent. The truth is that you are never alone. Don't spend so much time seeking to build relationships built on fake love and appearances that you miss the most important relationship in your life, your relationship with Christ. It's the only one that will satisfy. Also, start being real and authentic with your small group. I know it's scary, but it's so worth it. To be fully loved by someone, you have to be fully known, and bottling up all your struggles and pain and trying to control yourself is really hard and not worth it. Tell other men in your life how you fall short, and you'll be really surprised how many people are dealing with the same trials. High school seems like a really scary thought, but trust me, the way you will grow through great times and hard times is incredible. Continue to dwell on verses like James 1, 2 through 4, which says, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and may your endurance have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Lastly, don't take any time you have for granted. Trips like Dallas Experience are some of the greatest memories and strongest growing points in your faith. Serving the Lord alongside others is so encouraging, and you meet some of your best friends through those times. It feels like just yesterday I was walking into North Junior High for the first time, and now I'm a senior about to leave for college. Relish every minute and seek to love and serve others rather than be consumed with self-pity. Your God is good, your life is a gift, and your purpose is to love like he loves. The sooner you realize you can't do it, the sooner you give it all up to the Lord and live a life characterized by peace, patience, and joy. You can't do it, Braden, but he can. Rest in that. You're older, not perfect, but more secure in Christ's self, Braden.
Could you say that right now? What he did? To honestly, authentically, if you were talking to yourself or others, hey, I'm insecure. I don't have it figured out. I'm not perfect. I'm scared. I want to be consumed with myself. I desire to serve others, but I struggle with it. A lot of these guys talked about authenticity. It is the most life-giving and amazing thing, but it is hard. It is scary. And it is amazing that they're doing that. Sometimes we think it's easier to do it to people that are younger than us. We could go to maybe some first graders and you could be real. But are we willing to be real with each other? Thank you, guys, for modeling that. One thing that a lot of them said over and over and over. I know Caitlin said it at the beginning. Braden said it at the end. She's talking to herself, hey, you're not going to be invited to parties. Friends are going to not like you because of the church Jesus thing. People are going to maybe make fun of you and think you're weird. People, you're going to start to just be pushed away from the cool crowd that you used to be in, that you thought is cool, and you're going to want to run to that. You're like, cool, sign me up. Why would I do that? Because all of them said, because my relationship with Jesus is far better than any of that. Nothing's going to satisfy. Not the cool crowd, not a girlfriend, not good grades, not perfection, not everything I've ever wanted, just Jesus. They don't say that because they're pastors and they have to, and they're your Bible teacher at school, and they're your mom and your dad. They walk the same road you walked, and they're just lovingly writing you a letter going, hey, don't do it the way I did. You don't have to go through that same pain. Or, hey, the way that I clung to because people told me to hold on to these things and to hold on to small group and to run to Jesus, man, it is worth it. So I hope that y'all listen. I'm going to invite all of them to come up, and we're going to have them kind of answer some questions a little bit. Y'all may have some questions at the end, but I'm just going to have them follow up on a few things. So they're all going to come up here. So one thing that y'all talked about a lot throughout, I know that the two of you guys hit a ton, but each of you hit on, all of y'all, you're all in a small group. Yes. You all, have been coming to Watermark a little bit. Some, I know you guys have been here for life, like the NICU. You've been in here like you were born here. It was scary in those days. But like, some of y'all may have hopped in a little later, but you said, hey, small group is a lifeline. Not because it's the thing you're supposed to do and to check off the list and that's just what we do because we're Watermarkers, but hey, this was a source of growth and life. Can you guys add on that? Why small group was so important? Anybody have anything you want to dive into there? Yes.
So for my small group, we started out like really big and there were like 25 of us. And that seems like huge, especially since I go to TCA and it's like a small private school. And as the years have gone by, it's gotten smaller and smaller, which honestly is a blessing because I'm not saying that big groups are bad, but small groups are great and intimate. And even if you get people that aren't like your best friends, or I know at TCA and other schools, it's like really clicky and you have your group of friends, but my small group is like all over the place. Like we all have our different friend groups, but it's amazing that we can come together as like a family in Christ. And honestly, it gives me a better perspective on life because I get to see viewpoints from other friend groups and other girls who, or guys, who just live life a different way than I do. And it's just really a blessing.
It's awesome. Braden and Dawson, both y'all talked about how small group was good because it was a place that you could be authentic and real and raw and honest with your struggles, honest with you're just who you really are, not the friend. One of y'all talked about the friend that you have to be for other people. Like those aren't true friends, right? I mean, I think that was you. Those aren't friends. Those are people you're trying to impress. Your small group are not those people. They're people that you can lean on. They're going to war with you. And so can you guys unpack a little bit what it looked like a time when you were just scared to death to share something? Because we all have been in there where we're probably, our heart's pounding. The Lord's like, okay, share this. And you're like, no, no, no. And you don't, because we're afraid. And that's, we all experience that. But what's a time where you, it was a game changer when you or someone else shared something that changed your small group? And how did that happen?
Yeah, so very first, like with authenticity, it's not going to be comfortable the first time. Like, there's no way. But I think both of us talked about, like, once one person kind of leads out and does that, it's just going to spark a chain reaction, and it becomes more comfortable for everybody and just grows y'all tighter. But I can remember one time when I was y'all's age, I'd got caught actually cheating on some homework, and I was scared to death just to confess that to my small group. And it ended up just, taking that burden off of me. And those guys kind of knew going forward to check up on me. and just kind of knew where some of my hang-ups would be, and they would, you know, yeah, they would know what questions to ask and like how to keep me accountable in the future. So,
one thing I would say, I think the biggest obstacle for being someone who's authentic in your small group is really just the thought of like what other people are going to think about me if they know. And so I think for me, especially just the biggest fear I had was those people, they're not like me. They're perfect. Like they're not doing this. And so they're going to look down on me if I tell them, or they're going to think less of me. But that's so far from the truth. And the truth is that what I've realized is that you'd be really surprised to see how many people are dealing with the same exact struggles you are. And going through life trying to figure those out alone is so much harder. And it's such a blessing to just have guys like Dawson in my life who I can share my burdens with and who are going through the same thing, and that we can push each other, like as iron sharpens iron, as it says in the Bible, just to be the best versions of ourselves and not have to go through it alone.
That's good. Something else a lot of y'all hit on was friendships. Anything that you guys would dive in further to this crowd, not just talking to you, but talking to a whole junior high audience about friendship and what you wish you may have done differently or done the same? Yes, Miss Anna.
In junior high, I had a big, giant group of friends. And in high school, it trickles out and it gets smaller and smaller with your activities that you're into, and you really focus on the people that you spend the most time with. And I would say in junior high or next year in high school is to keep your friend group as small as possible, and then keep them as strong as possible, because it's just so great to have somebody to lean on and to have a few good friends rather than 1,000 okay ones, because they'll be there through anything you do.
That's good. And I hope, too, that for y'all, and what I've heard some of them say is, I mean, they've got friend groups. Like, small group doesn't have to be your best friends, but they can be. And I'm telling this to my guys, too. Like, hey, y'all are all saying, ah, man, I wish I had some more Christian guys. I'm like, hey, they're right here. They're in the room. You all go to school together. Oh, cool. And it's just like sometimes we forget. It's not just my church self and then my school self. Like, these are your people. These are the guys that are going to help you grow as men and women of Christ. And so they don't have to be your best friends, but you can be. And these guys have leaned on each other. Y'all aren't even in small group together.
No, we are.
No, you are. Okay. So they're in small group together, and they are close friends, not because they have to be, but because they've leaned into that and used that, which is awesome. Y'all talked a lot about your spiritual life and relationship with Jesus. And I hope y'all heard. I heard overwhelmingly not, oh yeah, I just had to do all these Christian things and now I'm a better Christian. But I heard them say in different ways, man, I tried everything else. I tried, you know, finding life and here and here and friends and that and this and that. And man, it is all about Jesus. Not church, not membership, not morality, not being good, but Jesus. And so some of that is just abiding with him and trusting him and loving him, but some of that is being disciplined and diligent to grow. So quickly, without a lot of explanation, what is one spiritual discipline that you wish you would have implemented in junior high, or you're so glad that you did?
For me, I would say journaling and like writing out my prayers and stuff like that, just because it's such a blessing to go back and look back on the way I've changed and the way I've grown and the way God has answered those different challenges I've faced. And so that's something I'm doing now that I definitely wish I would have started back then.
That's good. Just pass it down.
I know this may be the most obvious one, but just having a daily devotional. And I think the most important part of that is not just sitting down, you know, to read it and check off a box, but actually, you know, journaling, like he was saying, just so that you're consistently getting something out of it every day. And, you know, if you need to read a shorter chunk just so that you can pay attention, you know, better, just do whatever works just to consistently be in the Word daily. So,
I think for me, mine would be just setting a time, a part of time to spend in the Word, and it not just being like when I wanted to or like when I thought I'd have time, but actually like making myself sit down and like read the Bible so it'd become a habit and a better practice.
Mine is also reading the Bible. There's just so many good things in there, and it's definitely not as boring as you think it is, and you can make it fun by drawing or doodling or underlining what you've read, and it really helps you remember it and apply it to your life.
That's good.
Mine would probably be accountability, and I, for one, have a really like short attention span, and so I literally read one verse a day, and I just unpack that verse, and it doesn't even have to be with your friends. I send my verse and what I got out of it to my parents every day, and they love to hear that because your parents won't be with you for much longer, and when you go off to college and stuff, it's really great for them to see how much you've grown, and so I think they could be your best accountability partners.
That's good. You guys are getting paper being passed around. We're getting close to the end of time, and so leaders, help us with this, because it's not going to happen outside this room, but we'll see what happens. Here's what I would love you to do, okay? Each of them wrote a letter to their past self. Like, if they could go back 5 years from now, 6 years from now, 7 years in the past, here's what they've learned. What I want to challenge you guys to do, and the hope was we could do it in this room, but so that y'all can get to the next one, we may have you do it in the transition or try it later sometime today. I would love for you to write a letter to yourself 3 years from now. So whatever grade you're in 2021, some of you will be freshmen, some of you will be sophomores, some of you will be juniors. I want you, listen. I want you to write a letter to yourself based on what you hope you will be as a man of God or a woman of God. And be real. Man, I hope I got a girlfriend, whatever it is. But like, I want you to challenge yourself, okay? I'm serious. Take this seriously just as they did. And here's what I want you to do. Before we leave this room, if you've got a phone, I want you to pull it out right now. If you have a phone, pull it out. If you don't, then write on your front of your envelope your name, the grade you'll be in. So say, Harrison Ross, sophomore self, January 2021. Whatever that is, that's 3 years from now. If you've got your phone out, I want you on this day, 3 years from now, February 3rd, 2021, to put an all-day event in your phone to read this letter that you're going to write yourself. So give it to your leader, give it to your parents, and then put it somewhere, give it somebody that you trust, so that 3 years from now, you will sit and open this letter of who you thought you wanted to be 3 years from now, so that you can hold yourself accountable to the man that you want to be, to the woman that you want to be. Because guys, we forget, and all of them have forgotten and have had to be reminded year after year, day after day. Another thing that I hope you saw them do is all of them went to Scripture. When they're reading their letter, the lens they look through is not just what's good and bad, but God's word. They quoted it. They learned it. They soaked it in. All right, so set the event. Before we head out, I want y'all to hear one more thing from me. All right, set your event and then put your phone away. Y'all are going to have to write your letters later, so leaders, help us with that. No one's going to want to, but sometime, maybe today, right before you guys start your time, maybe as you're waiting for the next session, you're going to be tempted to be like, screw it, and like put it away. I want you to challenge yourself, okay? All right, y'all listen up. Because I think this is something that you need to hear, that all of them said. While you're in junior high, enjoy it. While you're a sixth grader, while you're a seventh grader, while you're an eighth grader, while you're a high schooler, while you're a college kid, while you're stressed out, while you feel like you're depressed, while you feel like you're going through this crazy time in your parents' divorce, while you feel like you have no friends, while you feel like you're the king of the school because you're the captain of the team, wherever you are at, God has you there for a reason. He's teaching you. He's growing you. He is using you. Y'all listen up. God has made you perfectly as his masterpiece. He didn't mess up. And so what they all said is, hey, enjoy who God made you to be and live fully in that. Trust God with everything you've got, and you will get the most out of your life because he's God and he's good and we can trust him. So hopefully you'll challenge yourselves. Let me pray real quick and we'll head out. Heavenly Father, thank you for these five seniors. Thank you for their authenticity, for their vulnerability, their ways that they were just honest with themselves and with us. Lord, I pray that we would not just hear it and go, oh, that was interesting, but Lord, it would hit us, that you would remind us of things even later in the day, things that we are struggling with, things that we just need to be bold enough to share with our small group, disciplines that we need to put in place, not to just be good Christians or better people, but so the Lord, we can just live the abundant life. I pray that these students in this room, when they're seniors in high school, can with integrity go, hey, my life is better now because I'm running with Jesus. And so, Lord, do whatever it takes in all of our lives, both kids, leaders, myself, to strip us away of the junk that gets in the way of relationship with you. Help us live the way that you have created us to be, but redeemed, fully trusting in who you are and your spirit at work in us. We love you. We praise you. Save this city because of junior high kids in it. In Jesus' name, amen.